Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Today's episode, we got some great TV shows coming up. I'm just going to pitch them to you. Just going to throw them out there, hoping maybe you give them a chance. Christopher Nolan was dropping his credentials on every table in Hollywood, and he had some demands, and those demands were met. We got the West Side Story trailer. We got the Hawkeye trailer. We got a big rest in peace, and we're going to give you guys a review of Cry Macho, the newest Clint Eastwood movie. Man, how you doing out here, brother?
I'm doing good, brother. I've been drinking these Trulies, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm becoming a seltzer boy.
There you go. Something about that no sugar. And they all agreed. Like, that's, I think that's the best thing about it, is that White Claw is like low carb, no sugar. And every seltzer since is like no sugar, no sugar. It's not like you have to like search for it. And it's they just go down. It's so smooth.
It's like a standard. Yeah, it's really good. It makes you trip out when all you do is drink Bud Lights. And then you have a seltzer and you're like, oh, wow, this feels great. Yeah. I feel like I could still do stuff. Like I could, you know, write a term paper, do something. Yeah,
let's go for a drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that. It's, you know, what's funny is I actually, and maybe it's just because my delusion, because I'm tired right now before we started, but we normally grab a drink before we record. And I have Bud Light seltzers in the fridge, but I have Bud Lights and they've kind of been sitting there for a while. And I was like, you know what? Don't forget where you came from. And I just grabbed a Bud Light. But that was a conversation I had with myself.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's very true. It's a little different though. You know, I have a Bud Light. It's like, oh, I'm sitting down. I'm not. I'm posting. With this Truly though, I feel like I could do anything.
Amen. Amen, man. So I've been to two comedy shows like in the last 2 weeks.
Oh.
And the last show I went to, there was no like domestic beers whatsoever. They were all like weird IPAs, and they kind of stressed me out a little bit. So I'm happy to have this Bud Light.
Little two drink minimum, right?
Yeah, there was. It depends. It's weird. I think it's last night I saw Andrew Schultz, and it was at the Balboa Theater, and the lines at all the bars were so long that my wife and I ended up splitting up, and she went to one bar, I went to another. And we were just like, whoever gets there first. And then she texted me like, I'm already at the front. What do you want? And I told her. And then, but I was so close that I ended up just getting another drink anyway. You know, because it was like one of those things where,
The dude selling it was excited too. Hey, what's up? Like, what do you have? And you're like, you know what?
Well, it was because she was upstairs. And I was like, all right, if I don't see her come downstairs, because there's only one way she was coming down. If I don't see her come downstairs by the time I get to the front, I'm just going to order another drink. And so I kept looking. The guy's like, hey, what do you want? And I was like, that same energy. He was stoked, dude.
It was lit.
And I was like, let me get this mango margarita just in a can, you know, because everything's like cheap. And so I was like, let me get the mango margarita. And he's like, all right. And just start scooping, you know, everything is so aggressive, like scooping the ice, cracks the shit out of the can, like pours it in real quick.
But dude, aggressive bartenders are my favorite, bro. They're out of control. Yeah. I don't even give a damn.
It's like the harder they go, at least it looks like they're like moving faster, even though it's a line that's like, at a snail's pace.
It's a bad drink, too. It's like terrible.
Yeah, but it was all right.
The energy was there.
It was all right. It was like a 10 o'clock show. There was two shows. We ended up getting tickets to the late show because all the tickets for the 7 o'clock were so bad. And so when you're used to going to sleep pretty early, that 10 o'clock show, you know, getting a couple drinks in, it all hit the spot. It was good.
Dang. How was the show itself, though? Andrew Schultz is a freaking goon. If you guys don't know Andrew Schultz, man, I guess hysterical, dude.
Yeah, he's great. He's got a Netflix, like, kind of, like, not really stand-up, but just a one-man show kind of thing. I don't even know what to call it, but it's really good. And Andrew Schultz, he was awesome. So I saw him and Joe Rogan, right? Joe Rogan's felt like more like a standard comedy special, and then Andrew Schultz felt more like just a party. Like, there was something about it. It was the whole beginning, they're like bumping music. There's like a timer that goes down. One of the openers for Andrew Schultz was a killer, bro. He's on Flagrant podcast with him. It was awesome. Like, he was just as good as Andrew, honestly. Like, he was so good. So, killer intro. But there was no, I think, like, I might, there's no way I don't have, if COVID's real, I have it, because there was no, at this Balboa Theater, it's like a 3,000 seat venue, I think. There was lines around the corner. There was no mask requirement, no vaccine requirement.
Oh, for real?
No 72-hour test requirement. No. They piled their asses in there. They didn't say a thing.
So, is that like a San Diego thing or just like the Balboa Theater thing?
No, it's a San Diego thing. You know, we're laid back out here. Because when I saw Joe Rogan, that was at the Forum.
Yeah.
You had to have your vaccination card. You had to wear a mask. If you took it down, there was like ladies standing by. They had like signs. And they just look at you like forcefully. Like, sir, you need... Sir. I was like, oh, shit. And they just pointed and looked at the worst. Mask. Oh,
yeah, man. Dude.
And so that's the worst. The Joe Rogan, it was like, you know, they lock up your phones. So the whole vibe in there was just different. It was like... I don't know. It was like, oh, this is like a lockdown thing. Everything's very serious. Everything. You got to have your vaccination card. The Andrew Schultz show kind of felt like I was just going to a friend's house getting drunk. It was just a different vibe. Different vibe.
And so you saw more drunk people at the Andrew Schultz show for sure than Joe Rogan, huh?
I don't know. I mean, like Joe Rogan.
Some sloppiness?
There was a ton more people at the Joe Rogan show. Like a ton more. Because this is the Forum. It's just a bigger venue. But I don't know. There's some good stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, that opener dude, he was walling out, and he had like some good crowd participation and like played well with it. And so I don't know. There's definitely some drunk people. It's the late show. It's the late show on a Thursday. So yeah. I mean, I have a job. My wife has a job, but we said fuck it. You know, we're out here. But some people, you don't know what's going on in their lives. So yeah. But it was cool, man. It was good.
Unemployment, brother.
Yeah, for real.
I'm here till they kick me out, dude.
Amen. Amen. They were great. And I got, I don't even know if I should say this. Like, I'm scared to admit it, but I'm seeing Louis C.K. and then Bill Burr next month. So it's like four people. Very, very, like, soon. I'm going to compare them a lot and see, like,
yeah, dude,
who's running comedy right now.
Let me save this question until after you see this, because I want to see you rate, like, your experience on like each show and like how funny they were, because I've seen Joe Rogan live and he's funny, but he's just like, he's got that structure. It just feels like a special. And then plot twist, it was just a special that he was like touring with and that became like a Netflix special. It was just like,
yeah,
you know, it was just the show, you know, it was just what he wrote down, and it was the same show, you know, pretty much everywhere. Andrew Schultz, I think he has those, but he also has a lot of randomness and shit, because I know he makes fun of the crowd, right? Like, he goes in on the crowd.
Yeah, there's a lot of deviate. Crowd work.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what's fun.
Yeah, the crowd work is wild, because the first guy he asked, he's like, what are you? Know, he's like, what are you? I was like, what are you? He's like, racially ambiguous ass bitch. Who are you? And the guy's like, oh, I'm Afghan. He was like, no shit. And then just started going in. Like, that's right how the show started. You know, so it was crazy. it was just wild.
Dude, that's good, man.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. It's so much fun. It's just fun. It is fun, like, doing things. That was kind of, Joe Rogan's the first one we did. And it was like, man, it's nice to be out. And we bought those tickets years ago. This is like a rescheduled COVID show anyway. So,
oh, damn.
It was like, dang, like, we're out here. Like, we're doing it. So it's fun.
Did you hit the merch tables or nah?
Nah, hell no, bro. Not for a comedian. Stands. You know, like, I don't.
Oh, I just, what?
Kanye
what
West mean? Only, bro. Kanye West only.
That's true. And Kanye West is like $100 for like a hat.
Yeah, that's all resale. I mean, I remember we, when Coachella, they had like the special Sunday service.
Yeah.
And got up early to get merch, was in line for about an hour, and ended up spending like $350 like to be like a dirtbag reseller. I was like, this is it, you know, gonna put my kids through college. And like ended up like making $60 worth of profit. Like, it wasn't even worth it, dude. It was just so, I mean, we still sold it for more, but then it's like there's eBay fees. It's not even whatever.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, you know, let's hop in the show here. We got some news. We got some random stuff. We got some a lot of quick hits. A lot of quick hits. First, Noah Jupe, probably my most hated actor in all of cinema right now. Not really. He just annoyed me in two movies in a row. Has been cast in the new Lost Boys remake. So Warner Brothers is like, look, it worked in 1987. Why won't it work now? We're bringing back Lost Boys. Man, are you hyped for this one?
I am so hyped about this, man. I am stoked, dude. This is so damn exciting. I freaking love everything about this.
Okay, there we go. So Lost Boys is a classic. I personally have not seen it. I love every time I look at the cover, and I know it's like a It's like a comedy horror situation, but the cover just cracks me up. Like, it looks like just a rock band.
Because like, everyone's, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, and it's like something about Kiefer, too. Kiefer on the front, yeah. Just, it just
he's got like a time. Like a spiky, like mullet yeah. type thing. Yeah. He looks like a, well, it's, man, that movie had a lot of success, but I don't like how, like, the more I'm reading about why the movie was successful, they keep saying, like, sexy cast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I really like this movie. I don't think they were, like, I mean, I wasn't checking them out, you know? But is this why the movie was successful? And then is Joel Schumacher or whatever the dude name is, the one that did Batman Forever or whatever yeah. like that.
Oh, he sexy got criticized. Batman. Nipple Batman. Yeah,
because he was out there making sexy Batman with, like, the nipples and the abs and all this weird stuff. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if that's why it worked, but I just love the movie in itself, like 80s, and just, you're right. Yeah, the cover is a little goofy because it looks like kind of rockish, but that's just like how these vampires looked like. They weren't like,
hell yeah.
You know, with the big cape and the large, like two big fangs. Like, they were just kind of like rockers with dirt bikes that were out there terrorizing Santa Carla, which is supposed to be like Santa Cruz.
I love it. Vampires in film have taken a lot of different
looks.
Yeah, oh yeah, because you know Wesley Snipes in the Twilight movies, it'd be a different vibe for sure. Like, it just wouldn't, if it was Wesley Snipes type vampires out there, just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, and you know, there's also like Twilight. Those vampires were like sparkling, like yeah. they sparkled, and they all looked beautiful. And
this is the face of a killer.
Yeah, there were like 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds being high school students for whatever yeah. reason. I don't know why they didn't just go to a college. You know, like yeah. they could have been fine. You know, college, you have like vague years there, right? Someone could be 21 or someone could be freaking 37.
True.
Trying to get that, you know, AA. Like, I don't know why they yeah. chose to go to a high school and just, you know, like look at young girls and shit. Like,
yeah, well, that's
Edward.
That's, I mean, that's a problem, a Hollywood problem that we could probably talk about. I feel like there's I don't even know. I haven't looked at everyone's age for the West Side Story trailer that we're going to talk about later. But that's like the Hollywood thing. It's like, oh, like, you know, cast a girl. Everyone's high in high school. Perfect. Make sure you get a girl high school age. What about the guy? Yeah, fuck anyone like 30, 32. Like,
we have Chris Pratt available or what's going on?
Yeah.
Who can we throw in? They freaking have the guy from Evan Hansen. He's like,
it's just 30, yeah.
playing like the high school role that he, like, you know, he handled. Yeah, he was the guy from the Broadway play, but he's freaking old and he looks very weird because yeah. he like de-aged him a little bit.
But the flip side of all that is now, so I'm seeing like Noah Jupe, right?
Yeah.
This kid's like 16. He looks like a baby.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, the high school kids are like in their late 20s. But if they put a 30-year-old woman in one of these, we'd be like, look at that old bitch. Like, it would never it would never work.
Freaking Hollywood, man. Yeah, it's goofy, bro. But I'm excited. Hopefully, because it's supposed to be like a modern version, so it's not like in the 80s. So hopefully some of the things that was successful in the first one kind of carries over. And the big thing is just like the soundtrack. The soundtrack freaking killed in the, you know, 1987 Lost Boys. It was just really dope. I just hope that there's some solid rock. You know, I hope that there's like, you know, Travis Barker's making tracks for this movie something's going on. Someone's involved kind of giving it that feel from the 87 movie. Maybe some really good covers, some really good tracks. And you know, just making it kind of funny and kind of cool and kind of badass, you know, like the Lost Boys was pretty dope, man. It was pretty badass. And I hope I get that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I hope it's good. I hope everything's good. So we'll see. I'll probably see this before I see the old one.
And I'm gonna be honest with you, Dubs. They've made like a sequel remake already. They made like a second one, and it was like Kiefer Sutherland's like younger brother. I think he was supposed to be like the lead vampire. That movie didn't do so good. They made another one after that. Was not good at all. It was like Corey Feldman's character.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, I think it was like those one of those straight to like DVD just movies. Like it just wasn't great. And they were supposed to make like a CW like TV series of it. And they haven't. I think COVID kind of shut that down. They just haven't done anything. So I'm hoping that this is good and not just like a cheap, bad remake that just sucks.
We got Lost Boys coming out. This is my plea about how to spend your next couple months. It's a couple TV trailers. We're not going to spend too much time on any of these, but a bunch of TV trailers just popped up. One of them, there's no real trailer. It's just coming out next week. So the first one, Succession Season 3 on HBO. So if you're looking for a show to watch, throw on HBO Max, watch Succession right now. It's kind of this drama about this family called the Roy family. They own like a big media company, and it's just like power struggles. I know that might not sound wildly interesting. The show is so well written, so well acted. It's one of those things, you'll throw it on, you won't be able to turn it off. It's absolutely terrific. Prize Emmy winner, best drama series. The people love it. Season 3, we've been waiting for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. It's finally coming out. COVID, obviously. All the things held it back. So catch up. There's 2 seasons of Succession on right now. Season 3 comes out next month in October. Have you seen Succession?
I have not.
No, there you go.
Now I listen to you. I'm going to just stop recording, and I'm going to throw it on and watch it.
There you go.
On HBO Max.
There I love it. Next one, You, Season 3. Trailer just dropped. Looks insane. Anyone that watches You knows what it's about. Formerly a Lifetime show. Didn't work on Lifetime. Netflix had the rights to show it on streaming. Gave it new life with a Season 2. Now they're giving it a Season 3. The people love it. It's a huge hit for Netflix. If you've not seen You, it's just about a guy who he falls for a girl, you know, and instead of just normal pursuing, he kind of becomes obsessed and then usually ends up like murdering them or something like that. It's a tale as old as time, but he's a really romantic guy and cares a lot. And the new season, I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't seen it. So, like, let's say you're like, man, I got to watch the show. Watch the show. I'm not going to spoil Season 3. But the new trailer for the new season looks insane. So, be ready for that. That's coming out soon. But the real one, the one that's very exciting, Survivor Season 41. Starts next Wednesday. Set it to record. It's on, I think, CBS. This is the show you got to watch. Survivor has consumed my life for the past couple months. It's all I watch. I've been watching old seasons. It's ruined me. Like, seriously, it's bad. Like, there's other things I want to watch, and I'm like, yeah, but there's also Survivor, and then they keep bringing back characters, and so there's seasons I'm, like, looking forward to, but before I get to that season, I have to finish some other seasons, and so, like I just started 33, but I really want to watch 34. Like, I was like, damn, I got to watch 33. All right, like, I'll watch it. So it's taken up all my time. Apparently, it's a huge hit on Paramount Plus. I didn't know this. It's like one of their top 3 shows right now. And they haven't had new episodes since mid-COVID.
Yeah.
But Season 41 is a perfect one to hop on. You'd be like, Season 41? Like, yeah, I think I missed the boat. You didn't. This new season, they've revamped the format. There's all new characters. The last season that they had was an all-winners cast. And so Jeff Probst, the host and one of the executive producers, has kind of said that was like the end of an era in a lot of ways. We had our all-winners cast, fan favorites from every season, and now we're kind of starting fresh. Like, Survivor's new, Survivor's fresh again. This is the time to hop on. Coming out Wednesday, starting the 22nd. Spend your time watching Survivor and lose your mind like I have recently. Those are my pitches. Those are my pitches for TV shows.
That's dope. With Survivor specifically, did they like release the cast?
They have released it, but I haven't seen it. So the way Survivor works is they film it, and then they do read the winner live, but there's still spoilers out there in the world. So, and since I know that, I'm scared to look up anything about it.
Once you like type it in, you feel like it's gonna,
yeah.
That makes sense.
And even because then you could follow someone on Twitter, like someone Survivor on Twitter. And the first tweet could be like, yeah, but this person's in the final 3. Like, they'll just blow it up no matter what it is because anyone can just respond to anything.
Damn.
So I'm very scared to engage with stuff, same way I'm scared to engage with, like, challenge things. I'm scared to look it up. But I know it's out there. I know the cast list is out there. I just haven't looked at it. But also, they're all unknowns. So I don't really care anyway. It's like they're just random people in the world. Like, no one is anyone that we'd know.
I just like when they have like a celebrity type in there. I know. I think the last season I ever saw, it had a Mike White in it.
Okay.
He's I just know him from School of Rock. Like, he's the brother
yeah. right,
of Jack Black's character. And I was like, bro, that's Mike White. Like, what the hell? Like, he's a survivor.
His
and
names then, like, are people, like, perfect for brothers.
Yeah. And then people like, and then people kind of recognize him, right? Like, it's not like people like just immediately recognize him. Like, hey, hold on, weren't you in the movie? Like, yeah. I'm actually a director and writer too. They're like, oh, damn, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm a big fan of Survivor. I'm a Survivor dude.
Yeah. They've definitely had like former child stars, I've seen football players, baseball players. And a lot of times their past does come to, you know, bite them in the ass. So it's interesting. And a lot of times they just kind of go under the radar. Yeah. No, almost never.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
Well, because I think people see it two ways. One, it's like, oh, people like are going to like you or trust you inherently because they feel like they know you. Or you've already had a successful career. You've already got money. Why would anyone give you more? So we're not going to give you $1 million. We're going to give it to, you know, the average Joe. Just out here working, trying. I love Survivor. You know, that's the person's
going. I know, right?
So.
Yeah, for sure.
So next up in news here, Christopher Nolan. The man we all know and love. One of the most beloved directors of our current time. He had some demands about his next movie. Because he, like many people, care about the cinema experience. We're upset with Warner Brothers and the way they decided to do day and date, releasing movies on HBO Max and in theaters on the same day. Even though, if you ask me, it's very convenient. I'm a big fan. But needless to say, he was not. And all of Christopher Nolan's movies have been Warner Brothers movies. For the most part, I don't know if all of them have, but I know, I mean, the Dark Knight trilogy, Inception, Dunkirk. I think everything, for sure, everything since The Dark Knight, maybe before, has been Warner Brothers. They've had a very profitable relationship with each other. And he said, I'm not going to make a movie with you anymore because of how you did this, how you treated the other filmmakers. He's just not about it. His new movie is a historical drama about J. Robert Oppenheimer, who created the atom bomb. And I'll be 100% real with you, it sounds boring as shit. But it is what it is. You know, it's Christopher Nolan, so I'm here. Universal ended up getting out the rights. They beat out Paramount, Sony, and Apple. He demanded 20% of the first dollar gross, which is essentially just 20% of the gross of the movie. A 3-week blackout for Universal before and after the release date. Theater exclusive for anywhere from 100 to 130 days. And a $100 million budget with $100 million worth of advertising. And they said, we got you, Chris Nolan. You got it.
That's freaking, man, people were bidding for this guy. They're out there trying to get that next hitter.
Yeah. I guess Apple was close until it was like that theater exclusive thing. They were like, no, we can't do it. We got to put it on like Apple Plus. We got to promote our streaming service. And they weren't about it.
What's the 3-week blackout thing?
So that's just saying that Universal cannot release a movie 3 weeks before or after this movie comes out.
What?
So the other movies from other studios are going to get released, but that Universal specifically can't release anything.
Like, he just wants the hype to build up for his movie?
Yeah, he just wants it to be as successful as possible. He wants to give it the opportunity to play in that environment, and he's very passionate about it. Oh, and yeah. I'll say this. Christopher Nolan, he creates spectacles, right? He does not just put a movie together that can be watched anywhere. He doesn't put a movie together haphazardly. It's very deliberate. It's usually grand in scale, and the theater is the best place to see it. I mean, it's hard to argue that.
Man, well, shout out for just freaking sticking to what you believe with.
Like, that's right, man. If you know your worth, get your worth, bro.
Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits.
Get your worth.
He was like, I believe this is going to be great. It's about the atom bomb. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It does sound boring, bro. Nothing like a historical drama.
Yeah. Ugh. It's, yeah. It just never good.
Reminds me of, like, Valkyrie. I don't know if you saw that one with, like, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Boring as shit.
Yeah, not a fan. And it's just, they just don't really work for me. Because, like, what's the best thing you can say about it? Like, oh, that was factually accurate. Like, ugh. Like, it's awful.
It almost never is. It's like, I feel like I always look at the IMDb, like, trivia page, and it's always like, yeah, you know what? In this scene, it's actually two different moments, 5 years apart, and you just put it into one. Because it worked out for the story.
Yeah. And there's always like, oh, yeah, you know that person? That was actually, like, four different people. They just blended them all into this one person.
Yeah. I hate that so much.
Like, how can you say this is based on a true story? It's like they were all siblings. It's like, yeah, they kind of just absorbed into one. Yeah. Only child. Like, all right, whatever.
Hey, as long as Hans Zimmer's involved, I'm freaking down, dude. Honestly. Yeah, no. Like,
ooh, Hans Zimmer, like, oh man, dude, doing the score for like an atom bomb exploding. Sick.
Oof, that'd be sick. I was listening to a bunch of Hans Zimmer on YouTube the other day. Just him live in Prague or whatever.
Okay.
Bad ass concert, dude. Hans Zimmer is a freaking king.
He's the guy. He's the one.
Yeah. It's that freaking Interstellar, like, just theme. Like, the whole theme to Interstellar. Pff, it's dope. I want to learn how to play the piano. I'm like, never. I never will, but I really want to.
Yeah. The piano. That's what someone... Like someone was telling me about Jurassic Park, the books, and yeah. They were like, "Are you ever gonna read it?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know." I was like, "No, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm never gonna read it. Like, I'm not. I don't know what I was about to just lie to you and say I might read. I'm never gonna read it. Tell me whatever you want to tell me about this book. Dude. It's never gonna happen.
Yeah, tell me what happens. So I can just be like, wow, that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
that's dope. I'm happy you did that for me.
No, yeah, no, 100%. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, no idea. And I never would have known, ever.
Do you think this is going to be a success? I mean, yeah, right? It has the makings of it to be a success, right? Like, everything, like, even all the extra stuff he's asking for, like, it's to make it successful.
Well, Christopher Nolan, as of now, has built up a ton of goodwill. He has commercial success with original ideas because of the Dark Knight trilogy. He has been given a ton of money to make these movies. The first big gamble was Inception, knocked it out of the park. Then was Interstellar, then with Dunkirk, and most recently Tenet. So Tenet kind of fell into this weird purgatory situation where it's kind of like the movie that's supposed to save theaters, and then it didn't, but also it's confusing and whatever. I don't know how this is going to – this doesn't feel like a Nolan movie to me.
Yeah.
But neither did Dunkirk. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Even though Dunkirk ended up feeling very Nolan-ish because of the way they're playing with like the time, different, you know, the plane is in a different time zone and the boats, whatever. So it ended up, he had his fun with it. So I'm sure he's going to do some stuff here, but I just don't see how it's going to be interesting whatsoever. But, you know, there's a movie like Moneyball that was, I think on paper, does not sound that interesting. And it was electric. So, I mean, one of the best sports movies ever made. So it's hard to gauge just from the synopsis. But again, historical drama, never a good start.
I just wonder if, like, more directors are going to try to do this. But then I was wondering, like, who has that level of, like, notoriety where you're like, bro, like, this is Chris Nolan. Yeah, we're going to do a bidding war for this guy, for this movie. Like, we want to do this for Chris Nolan. I don't know if there's anyone really out there that has that much pull.
I don't know. See, because the other thing about Chris Nolan, too, is he's like a mainstream success director. I mean, I guess there's Quentin Tarantino. Who, I don't know if he can get this kind of money, but he could definitely – people would definitely bid for his project. I don't know if he'd get $100 million. David Fincher is probably another one.
David Fincher,
I mean, Spielberg, Scorsese, probably all kind of, you know, command something like this. So, I mean, there's definitely directors out there. Yeah, I mean, Nolan still – I think he's had the most mainstream success overall. And so many of these movies are just so beloved.
He's like brave enough to like do this, to like bet on himself, essentially.
Yeah. I love him. I love him. I'm a huge fan. So yeah, shout out Nolan. Shout out that boring ass movie he's going to make. next up here, we got the West Side Story trailer just dropped. So we had a teaser for this that came out during the Super Bowl, I believe. And, but now we got the full thing with one of the big directors, Steven Spielberg. If you don't know West Side Story, this is an adaptation of the 1957 musical. West Side Story explores forbidden love and the rivalry between the Jets and the Sharks, two teenage street gangs of different ethnic backgrounds. Yeah, it's like a remake of a 1957 musical. So that's it looks cool. I mean, it looks like kind of crazy, actually. It looks like overproduced almost. Like it kind of looks like a huge epic, but it's just like, I don't know. Not really my thing. Madman, you got any thoughts on the West Side Story trailer?
I think I'm gonna love this movie, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It's, it's all right.
It looked dope. That's cool. I just loved it. You know, it's like, because the story is like a little bit of Grease, a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet, you know, a little bit of a teenage just goonery out there being in a gang and fighting with one another. It's ridiculous, dude. I don't know what it is to be a teenager, But like, it seems like in these movies, you just have to be in a gang. The Jets, I think, are white. And okay. The Sharks are like Puerto Rican, so shout you out. Could kind of do both.
Shout out.
give you that freaking Vin Diesel treatment.
Yeah, dude. It's got to go get a good tan, and then I'm ready to go.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I'm Sharp, brother. What's up?
It is funny, too, because Ansel Elgort is the guy, the main white guy, and he looks like just the white guy.
The white guy,
there's no racial ambiguity there. Like, he's a white dude for sure.
He's good. Like he's a pretty good actor. Like he freaking killed it in Baby Driver.
Did you know that he has a musical career, and he's also known as An Solo, and his genres are hip hop, R&B, soul, and electronic.
No,
that's natural. I mean that's his instruments, vocals, and a DJ, An Solo. I don't know, man. This is just the Wikipedia. Someone could have put that right there as a joke, but that's what it says.
That's out of control.
But this does kind of fall under that situation we were talking about where, so when they filmed this, the girl, what's her name?
I want to say like Mackenzie or something like that.
No, that's not it. Oh, Rachel Zegler. All right.
Yeah. Remember, she's the girl from YouTube. She's the one from YouTube.
Yeah.
That's in like everything now.
So this actually falls in that category. And I think we may have talked about this movie and this issue when we spoke about this movie the first time about Rachel Zegler, how she came out of nowhere. So she was 18 when they filmed this, and Ansel Elgort was 25.
Okay.
Which is not like a crazy, I mean, it's only 7 years, they're actors, whatever, but it's just one of those things where it's very normal for us to see, like, oh, they're teenagers. She's 18. Makes sense. He's 25. Teenager. Makes sense. Like, you just don't think about it. And it's all the subliminal stuff. And then Chris D'Elia's over here trying to sleep with 16-year-olds, and we're wondering what happened. He just liked West Side Story a lot.
The forbidden love.
Yeah.
All about it. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you here.
Well, I'm not expecting the answers from you, man. I just say it's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing.
I didn't know Ansel was into, I forget his name. An Solo, the O is
An Solo,
like cross and stuff.
Yes, sir. That's you looked cool, it up? Yeah, man. Name. It's real.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know he had this music kind of career behind him. So when you're looking at white dudes in the industry right now that are white, you know, it's either him or Ben Platt, apparently. So
yeah, and it's funny because like being a DJ is in no way a white thing, but it's also a super white thing. And I don't know how that, like, I don't know why that is. Like, there are plenty of DJs who aren't white, and it's totally valid, totally makes sense. But it's also when there's a white DJ, you're like, yeah, I get, yeah, of course there is. Of course.
You know, freaking Idris Elba is a DJ too.
Yeah, 100%. And for some reason, it still makes sense. And I don't know why, but it's, I don't know.
He's mysterious, bro. He's a mysterious guy.
He is.
Living his best life.
He's just having fun, dude. You know, sometimes, hey, it's, you know why? It's because we're not taking ecstasy. That's why. I think Idris Elba's had some party drugs, had some good times, and we just don't do enough drugs.
Yeah, if we were out there doing drugs, we would have not done a podcast. We'd just be
we'd be DJs.
Amazing freaking DJ duo.
Yeah.
We'd just be out there just playing the Encore Beach Club every weekend.
I mean, that kind of sounds good, man. I don't know. I don't hate that.
Just blitz, though. Just absolutely blitz. I'll probably die young, you know, like heart attack. Then you carry on the legacy. You just become a solo act.
Yeah, but it's not like we're doing ourselves any favors. We're still probably going to die young. So, Jesus, man, we might as well have some fun with it.
Yeah, we're also, like, doing a lot of drugs. So. We're also, like, very loaded.
Right yeah, now. I not wish, like, man. Sometimes.
My room is different colors.
Yeah.
You're like, I wish, brother. Actually, I wish. I have a job in the morning. So
I got to be up in a couple of hours. But yeah, man, sounds cool. But that's what people do, you know, get through the day. Your room is different colors, though. There's not like we're in the Zoom chat right now. Like sometimes, like the Madman's room is like red. Right now, it's red. Sometimes it's like yellow, it's blue, green. Like it could be anything.
Yeah, I got Christmas lights on too. Sometimes that like
there you go, and that's all you need to know about the Madman. It's like what's in your room? Christmas lights. And that's the thing. It's just a thing. It's like a personality type. I used to have Christmas lights in my room as well, and I'm a big fan. Now, unfortunately, I'm not allowed to have them anymore.
Yeah, but, you're like married and stuff.
Yeah, like but in my heart, I'm a Christmas light guy for sure. I still have my poster wall that I was.
The poster wall is a vibe.
Yeah, and that's in the living room, so that's like crazy.
We gotta get you a West Side Story poster right there in the back.
Yikes. Not that pedophilic stuff. That's gross. Gross. So yeah, little man, huge side tangent here, but the movie looks good. You know, it's movie, I mean, it's fine. You know, it's
cool. Catchy, bro. And I'm sorry, I know there's people listening. They're like, bro, this is West Side Story. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, 1957.
I wasn't alive in 57.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't alive in 87 either. You saw Lost Boys, bro. You got to figure this out.
That's the culture, brother. You know, like, I'm gonna watch an 80s movie over a 50s movie, like. You haven't even seen Goonies. You were born in what?
I know.
When did Goonies come out?
I don't know. Let's see.
Like 83, dude, to be honest with you. I think Josh Brolin's in these. Like,
yeah, so yeah, Goonies came out in 1985. So yeah. I was also not born.
We're not born.
But I like Sean Astin. I like Josh Brolin. I'm ready to see it. I'm excited to see it. I love movies about kids like going on an adventure. So that's, I'm all about it. Like Super 8, you know, it's like probably the most recent like movie like that that I really
was a hitter
was
too.
Drawn to, but man, I love that movie. I love it. So I'm all about it.
But like West Side Story, like you have you seen Grease? Have you seen Romeo and Juliet, the Leo version?
So I've seen Romeo and Juliet, the Leo version. I could, you know, give or take, I could do without that. Grease is a hit. I love Grease.
Grease is dope.
But it's gross, dude. It's gross. And there's certain things that
talk like, about old people playing high schoolers.
Yeah. Exactly. So how old was I think they were all fucking old. I mean Rizzo was she was old as hell.
Rizzo was old as shit, you know. That's like a single mother out there. She was just smoking packs of cigarettes, bro.
Oh man. Here we go. So John Travolta was 23, Olivia Newton-John was 28. Jeff Conway's 26.
Olivia Newton-John. She was older than
Josh was. Yeah.
Oh damn.
But I mean, the movie's crazy. But it's like it's so many. I mean, I watched it so much when I was young.
Yeah.
And so there's so many things that were ingrained in my head, and so then I had a gap. Right. I watched it a lot when I was younger. Yeah. And then I just started living life, you know, and doing things like not watching musicals. And there's a probably good like 8 years, 9 years, 10 years where I'm just no musicals in my life whatsoever. Not watching Grease at all. And then there's like a Wednesday night showing at a theater and it's like, hey, let's go watch Grease. It's a great movie, whatever. And like hearing back all the things that never made sense before. Like one of the things, like I remember there's a moment where he's like, nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's. And I always was thinking about like, what Annette are they talking about? And then now I know Annette is a person.
Yeah, they changed up the lyrics a little bit when they did the, like, I think Fox did, like, a remake of it with, like, Julianne Hough and some other dude. And they changed up some lyrics that were not, like, you know, they're just not appropriate now.
Yeah. But, you know, what's just funny about all that movie is that I've seen it so many times. And I've heard the songs 1,000 times. I know them all by heart. But the thing that always just rings in my head is, nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's. It's all that stuck with me throughout the whole thing.
Hey, any of you guys see that new chicken registration? Oh, she sure beats the fondoms around here.
I mean, her jugs were bigger than Annette's?
Nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's.
Right.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Yeah, they like glorify Kaneki, too. They say a hickey from Kaneki is like a Hallmark card.
I got so many hickeys, people would think I'm a leper.
Cheer up. Hickey from Kaneki's like a Hallmark card. Ain't care enough to send the very best.
You pig.
I love it when you talk dirty.
This guy's over here just...
He's killing it, bro. He's old as hell, too.
Licking.
Yeah, looking like Val Kilmer on drugs. Yeah, man, he's killing it, bro.
Yeah, you would be glorified. You walk around like, oh my God, look at that. Hey, that's so.
Yeah.
But good job, Susan. Walking around a big hickey.
And you know, and they try to cancel that. That's not right. No, I'm just kidding. Change some of the stuff. I mean, it's just funny how it's just funny that that's always stuck with me. I have no idea why, but that always just, I mean, I could recite. I feel like I've seen it like all the time over and over. So West Side Story, hopefully there's some good, like, you know, sexual innuendos. But I'll understand them now, so they can't like have this weird effect on me. So
in West Side Story,
yeah.
No, you know West Side Story is gonna be corny. It's gonna be just really corny. People are fighting. Two gangs are fighting, and they're singing songs.
Yeah, snapping.
Like, that's
hey, bud,
the least gang thing.
Stop that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, someone's gonna get stabbed. It's gonna be sad.
No, but it's you know, Spielberg.
Hey, he can do no wrong. He did Super 8, right? He
Super 8 with J.J. Abrams. He also made Jurassic Park, or what's up?
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one.
Have you heard? He's also made a lot of really not great movies recently, so there's also that.
Yeah.
Can't win them all. But let's see. Next up here, speaking of can't win them all, actually, it's not a good segue. This trailer doesn't deserve that. Next up here, we got the Hawkeye trailer. I'll say this. So this is as honest as I can be about this Hawkeye trailer. I don't care. I wanted to care. I thought for a moment that I actually did care. And then I realized very quickly that I did not finish Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I didn't finish Loki. And I was not going to waste my energy getting excited about this, knowing that I'm probably not going to finish this either. But the trailer has Christmas songs playing. And I love Christmas songs. And I got a little excited because it kind of looks cool. So that did happen. But I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to watch the show because I've just not watched so many of them at this point. I've not watched more than I've watched that I can't even pretend to like. I just don't want to be a fake fan, you know? I don't want to be a fake fan.
Yeah, I also haven't finished those shows either. So I might watch the first episode and then just like the other ones, just not watch again. But I think this one is a little bit different because it has Hayley Steinfeld.
It does. I like her too.
And then Florence Pugh.
Yeah, no, it's still. And here's the thing. I'm on board with all that. I saw Hayley Steinfeld. I was like, she's the best. She's great.
Yeah.
And again, the Christmas stuff. I love snow. I like Christmas songs. And did that draw you in at all? Were you a fan of the Christmas vibe?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I liked it too. Because I when is this coming out? Is it? It's in November, right?
Yeah,
November 24th. Like, see, that's already like kind of Christmas vibes already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just gonna be. I know I'm gonna be like in comfy like pajamas, maybe
meth clothes,
hot chocolate, and watching this. Like, it's gonna be. I'm gonna be more in the mood for this than like those other ones.
Mm. Yeah,
and I'm down for it. And Hayley, I know she's gonna kill it. She's like a super fan of Hawkeye. She like idolizes him, and he's supposed to be like training her to take over the mantle. Which I think is pretty dope, and I feel like you almost need to watch this because this is gonna like carry on into the Marvel like universe where you're gonna see, you know, Hawkeye, you know, Cliff Barton, freaking Jeremy Renner's character like slowly start going away, and now it's gonna be like a newcomer. It's gonna be the new wave of people, like, because there's already a new Black Widow with Florence Pugh. So.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's gonna be cool.
Huge implications for the Marvel universe, as there always is. Always huge implications when new Marvel content comes out. I don't have anything bad to say about it other than I just don't want to sit here and pretend. Like, you season 3, Succession season 3, I'm going to watch them bitches. I'm going to watch the shit out of them. And I know Hawkeye might not get that same love. That's
all I see. Hey, yeah, that's honesty, right? That's all we want.
I'm just trying to learn who I am, you know? That's it. I'm growing in front of you guys. This is episode 43, and I learned something new today. I'm not sure I can fully commit to Hawkeye. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. And reading the Jurassic Park book.
I know I'm not going to read it. Like, that was gross. I started to say I wasn't going to read it and then laughed out loud. I was like, you know, never mind. Just tell me. Obviously, I'm not going to read it. Obviously.
Yeah, dude. That's good. Hey, but solid trailer. Solid trailer. And, you know, let's make more movies and TV shows in freaking Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. We love Christmas. We do love Christmas.
Big fan. Huge fan. I'm all about it. Let's do it.
All right. Next up here, a little bit of sad news. I feel like most people know at this point because this happened pretty soon after we released our last episode. Second rest in peace in a row, but rest in peace to Norm MacDonald, who passed away from cancer. He had cancer for about 9 years, kept it to himself, didn't really tell anyone. Everyone was very shocked. If you are engaged in any kind of comedy, anything on social media, whether you're following comedians' Twitters or you just anything like that, you saw just a huge outpouring of, you know, just love and positivity because of Norm MacDonald. Absolute hilarious, hilarious comedian. SNL alum. Just an all-around funny guy. Everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. Madman, you know, anything about Norm?
Yeah, it's a bummer. It you know, life's too short. He was 61. And, you know, cancer died the same day he did. Yeah, it was one of those things. He was very proud of that.
Yeah.
The reason I don't like it is because in the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know. What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if the cancer dies, I mean, if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss. That's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean?
And I think that's, you know, it's dope. It's super unfortunate because it kind of hit a lot of people hard, right? No one really knew about it. And you see that outpouring love that he had. And it sucks because he's not going to know that. Like, I know he knows that. I know he knows people love him and stuff.
Yeah.
But when you just don't know and it just hits you like that, it kind of hits you hard. And like, I don't want to compare it to Kobe because they're different people, obviously. But when it comes to like comedic legends, like he's just one of them because he's just like an everyday, like just all around good guy, funny guy, naturally funny. And it's hard to do that. Like he didn't really have to try very hard where you see like comedians like really like try to perfect their art and try to do things. And I feel like for him, whether he did that or not, it just came very natural. He just came very cool. He's someone you just want to drink a beer with and shoot the shit and, you know, just say funny stories. And when we were talking about it before we were recording and we were talking about like funny people and how he's in it and he's like congratulating Adam Sandler's character about like beating, you know, his disease or whatever. And now he's dead. And you know, it just kind of hit home like a little bit because I'm like, damn, I'm going to watch this movie again. I'm going to see him in there like all happy and just being Norm. And now he's dead. And this is a movie about a comedian that's about to die, you know, like, and so,
yeah,
it super hits home there.
Yeah, and you know, that's, and he didn't tell people. I know he was on a podcast a couple years ago. Again, still hadn't told anyone that he had cancer, but was talking about, like, just essentially, like, I don't want to, if you have cancer, like, you tell people, then everyone's just going to feel sorry for you. And, like, why would you want anyone to feel sorry for you? And, I mean, there's definitely reasons to tell people if you're sick, you know, don't just keep it to yourself. But at the same time, he didn't want people just feeling sorry for him. He just wanted people to treat him like Norm, and so he just did not talk about it. And he's highly respected. You know, I think one of the things I saw was he's one of those comedians that if he knew the joke was funny, that's all he needed. Like, he didn't need you to laugh. He didn't need someone else to laugh. And, I mean, watching him on the roast is just so good. So good because –
yeah.
They're doing a roast, I think, of Bob Saget, and everyone's saying these dirty, offy, filthy things, including Bob Saget, who is just a known dirty comedian.
Yeah.
And the roast that Norm is putting out is just so, like, PG, and but just so funny. It's like dad jokes and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was lucky enough to see him. I went to, like, a secret show at the Comedy Store, and he was one of the openers for Dave Chappelle, which was just a crazy night altogether. And, listen to one of, he has a stand up thing came out in 2011. Listen to that on a fluke a couple weeks ago. I was feeling vibes, like just Norm in my life. So yeah, we're going to throw in a clip. This is a little long. It's about 4 minutes long, but it's worth it. This is a little Norm MacDonald. This is a famous clip from him on Conan O'Brien. It's like a moth joke.
Now, not all your material comes from the news. Is that right? You know,
my strongest material comes from real life.
Real life?
Like, for instance, today I was driving in a car. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yes.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way, so my driver...
What do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get a lot of my material.
Okay. Why don't we just have him on next time?
That guy. No, wait till you hear me do it. So the guy, he goes, I say, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office. All right.
You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, mm-hmm. and the podiatrist's office says, what's the problem? And the moth says, what's the problem? Where do I begin, man? He goes, I go to work for Gregory Linovich, and all day long I work. Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Linovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. The podiatrist says, oh, yeah? And the moth goes, yes. And he goes, at night, I sometimes wake up, and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm, a lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria. She fell in the cold of last year. Mm-hmm. The cold took her down as it did many of us. And my other boy. And this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me. And end this hellish facade once
and for all. How long a drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
He says, Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging onto my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. And so the doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And then the moth said, because the light was on.
My congratulations to anyone who stuck it through to the end.
All right, now we're hopping into our review here for Cry Macho. I can tell you right now, I did not like this movie very much. And I'm going to bury it as much as I can. But we're going to start with the synopsis. I've never been so negative about a movie to start out. I don't have a review in my head yet. I'm going to figure that out as we go along. I don't have a three-word review yet. But off the top of my head, I'm just going to say really terrible movie. And we'll start with that, and we'll see if anything else comes up. Synopsis is a one-time rodeo star and washed-up horse breeder takes a job to bring a man's young son home and away from his alcoholic mom. On their journey, the horseman finds redemption through teaching the boy what it means to be a good man. Directed by Clint Eastwood, written by Nick Schenck and N. Richard Nash, starring Clint Eastwood, Dwight Yoakam, and Eduardo Manette. The Rotten Tomatoes here has the critics at a 53%, which is just insanely high. And the audience at a 67%, which is also ridiculously high. But it was at 70 this morning, and I'm so glad it went down a little. We went hard on Malignant last week for the acting, about how, man, it was pretty terrible acting. I didn't even put the actors' names. I was like, it's a bunch of nobodies. And I feel like we might have gone a little too hard on Malignant because, oh my gosh, the acting in this movie was just dog shit. It was so bad. Man, do you have anything positive to say about Cry Macho?
What a beautiful movie, right? In terms of like scenery.
There's no way. You don't mean
in terms of like scenery. Like it kind of depicted Mexico kind of beautiful and kind of cool.
Mm.
There's a lot of cool shots of like the sky and like the mountains. And you know, I think his cowboy hat was pretty rad.
Like, a nice cowboy hat, yeah.
Yeah, I like how he looked. He had a like super dope, like old man cowboy look. And you know, what a good message. Like, what is it to be macho? Like, what is machismo? Like, what is it to be this strong man? Is it muscles? Is it attitude? Is it feelings? It's a whole lot of questions. And when you're out here finding this little boy and trying to show him what it is to be macho, I think the movie does a good job trying to explain it, trying to
a good job trying. That's cool.
Change, you know, views, right? Trying to like break down views of what it is to be macho. But yeah, I mean, there's no way to hide that this movie has a terrible freaking screenplay. Like, it's so bad. Like, the screenplay sucks. The dialogue is not good.
No.
Clint Eastwood is 91, and he feels older.
Every like, year feels- of it. Every year of that 91 years. And bless his man. Like, there's nothing. I'm not mad at Clint Eastwood. Well,
No.
I'm mad at Clint Eastwood. But I do think it's amazing that he's 91 and was still able to put himself in a movie, able to direct a movie. That's incredible. And you can't take that away from him, but someone should, because he could have directed this movie and put someone else in it, and it would have been a whole lot better, possibly. All right? Like, now, the screenplay was still terrible, but a better actor might have been able to say, like, hey, Clint, like, the screenplay sucks. What's going on? We got to fix this up.
Yeah, that's a question I want to ask you. If this movie didn't have Clint Eastwood, would it have been better or worse?
Better. 100 times better. And this is... Here's the other thing, too. If you look at the positive reviews for this movie,
yeah,
at least on Rotten Tomatoes, almost every single one says, like, wow, at 91 years old, he's still able to do it. How amazing. It's more just, like, people are surprised that he can get up out of bed versus actually impressed with the actual movie itself.
Yeah.
Rarely are these reviews talking about how good the actual movie is, because it's not very good. And the movie would have been 100 times better if there were a different actor, because there are certain scenes in this movie... And I don't want to go too far into spoilers, even though anyone with good sense will skip this, seriously, please. Or if anything, watch it, just so you know I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's so bad. And there's, like, a moment where he punches a guy, like, who's probably in his mid-20s, and he just punches him in the face. He's 91. And the guy's like, oh, like, falls back for a second. It's like, what? What just happened? Like, that's not real. There's a moment where he chases a chicken and catches it. Meanwhile, if there's any scene with his full body, he can barely walk around. He can't run. There's also, like, there's 1,000 moments. I'm not even going to mention them all.
Yeah, he really cannot run.
But there's him catching the chicken. Riding a horse,
right?
Oh, yeah, the horse, right. Jeez, what's going on? So the movie would have been a lot better without Clint Eastwood, because it just would have felt more believable if it was anyone, just like 40 years younger.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it. Like, I love Clint Eastwood. I'm a little bit biased and a little bit more forgiving than you.
Mm.
And so, because Clint Eastwood's name is in this movie, because he's just the guy, this is Mike guy or whatever, I think my rating is a little bit, you know, it deviates, you know, in a little bit more favorably here because it's Clint Eastwood. Now, let's say it was like Denzel or like Arnold. I know they were trying to make this like Arnold or like Denzel or like one of those guys, or like even Nicolas Cage. I would have loved this so much more. I feel like they would have like really brought life to this movie. But if it was like a B or C actor that I really don't care about, that's trying, like, let's say like Val Kilmer was in this movie trying to be this guy, this is like a straight to DVD, like, just bad movie, because the dialogue doesn't change, right? The screenplay doesn't change. Like, it's still terrible, and it'll be even worse. But because of Clint Eastwood's name, it is a little bit more favorable, because he just has a big name, and he just makes he's making these movies now.
But I feel like you're talking crazy, man. Like, right now, I get that Clint Eastwood's a big name, and Clint Eastwood is someone that you'd be like, oh, Clint Eastwood movie, sure, I'll watch that. But I feel like watching it, it doesn't matter how big of a name he's had before. You could just clearly see that he's not for this movie. Like, it's just not.
Oh,
it's just not supposed to be a 91-year-old dude. It's just not.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like, he, like, made this movie better. Like, this movie's still bad. But because his name is Clint Eastwood, people are going to flock and people are going to watch this movie. And they're going to just kind of lie and say how beautiful the movie was, because the scenery is dope. The tone is cool. The message is dope. But in reality, it's a pretty bad movie. The dialogue sucks. The screenplay sucks. A lot of weird, predictable, like, just corny scenes. It feels like a bad telenovela. Like it just feels like there's a lot of little things in it that I just don't understand, don't really quite add up to. Like the movie doesn't make sense. Like there's some plot holes or some things that are not addressed or kind of are addressed and are kind of overlooked that they kind of bummed me out, because I was really looking forward to this movie. This guy is 91. He doesn't have a lot of years left. And so I was thinking, like, man, this might be like a swan song, like passion project. Like, he's been trying to do this for a long time, and he finally made it. And then it just sucks that this movie was pretty bad. You definitely see the age in him in it. And it's also his directional, like, takes, like his motives, his vision. You know, he's down to do those one takes. Like, he's just like, we're just doing this one scene and we're not gonna do it again, we're just gonna go on. And I think it kind of jams up the young kid that's in this movie, because he's a young no-name actor, right? And, that's Clint Eastwood. He just makes these movies, get these no-name kids, throws them in there, and they act. And they're just doing one takes, one hitters. They gotta knock it out the park. And even if they don't, he's like, don't worry about it, kid. We'll go to the next scene. We'll move on. Yeah, that's why he's able to make them so quick, because it probably only took him 2 hours to make this movie. He's just doing one take. Yeah, he's doing the whole movie without any redos.
There was a funny story that I just got shared, where Matt Damon was on Hot Ones talking about Clint Eastwood and his like kind of one take thing.
Mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood is notorious for always going with the first take. What was that experience like as an actor on the set of Invictus?
Well, it was a little terrifying because I was playing a South African, and that's a really hard accent to do. If you think about what our tongue does in an American accent, it's like the polar opposite in a South African accent. So it's like, if you say, I'll be right back, and think about what your tongue does, they say, I'll be right back. And it's like, what the fuck just happened, right? It was very hard to, it's something that just required a lot of practice, and I treated it like a job. And I tested that theory on day one of shooting. We did the first take. It went pretty well, but Clint says, cut, print, check the gate, which means, we're going to move on. And I said, hey, boss, maybe you think we can get one more? And he just turned and he goes, why? You want to waste everybody's time? I'm like, okay, we're done. All right, good. Let's move on. So I'm glad I put all that work in, because I really don't think I got more than one take ever.
Yeah, and I think you're right on with the no-name actors. I mean, this kid has been in like three different novellas and then this movie, right? And but he was kind of acting like it was a novella. And it makes sense, because that's what he's done. So, I mean, you could argue that he just gave Clint Eastwood exactly what he needed. But there's just, I mean, it just wasn't good. All the acting in the movie was really cringy, from Dwight Yoakam to Clint Eastwood. Like, their interactions, all their talk in the beginning, the first like 15 minutes setting kind up the forced, movie was just so weird. I was just like, what is going on? Like, this is so bad. It literally, I was just like, I feel so bad for talking bad about Malignant now. Like, they were genius actors in that movie compared to this.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit more perspective, right? And I don't think it's a huge spoiler, because it's literally in the beginning of the movie. This guy, Clint Eastwood, he gets fired from his boss, right? Freaking Yoakam guy. And he gets fired, and then like a year later, the guy that fired him is like, hey, I need you for this job. You got to get my son from Mexico. Like, he's being abused there. You got to bring him over. He'll listen to you. You're a cowboy. And then he's like, nah. And he's like, come on, bro, I helped you out. And then Clint's like, okay. Yeah. Hey, really? That's all it took? Like,
I do owe you.
He just got fired a year ago. Yeah, he's like, I do owe you. Okay. And they send this 91-year-old senile man down to Mexico to rescue this kid. And guess what? Like, it's not that bad. Like, it made kidnapping like look very easy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. Like, and that's just the screenplay, like, I don't know. you're right about the acting. I feel like everyone's acting was pretty bad. Like, everyone was like no one really stood out. There's no really like hero here where you're like, man, that guy killed it. The little kid, I think did a good job under the circumstance.
No.
But even then, I don't think he was the best actor either. You know, like,
no.
He's definitely not one of those kids that you're going to see in more films, unfortunately. And I don't think he was set up for success here. But all these actors, you know, they're all kind of like no name people and they weren't really great. Like, at least the mule had like Bradley Cooper or something. You know, this one, I don't know. Like, this really.
The mule was also more interesting. I don't know. The whole time I was watching the mule, I was like, should I be like doing drug running? This is great.
I know, right? You're white. You can do it, bro. Yeah. You'll be fine.
I was like, this is great. Like, no one will suspect me. Like, this is perfect. They're
calling you Blanco. You'll become the guy. Like,
yeah. But then they'll expect too much, you know? Like, we're putting more on today. It's like, no, it's not what we agreed to. They're like, we're putting on more.
Yeah, first and second act, you're going to be rolling. You're going
to
be chilling.
But like, I didn't agree to this. Like, shut up, Widow. Like, okay. It's like, it gets dark, you know? Yeah. But the mule, I mean, the mule was interesting. And it still didn't. It didn't need him to do much, but it was okay because the premise of the mule was like, oh, look at this old white dude. No one's ever going to suspect he's running drugs. And what is Clint Eastwood? He's an old white dude. This makes sense. This movie about, like, you got to find my son. He's 13 years old. He's, you know, somewhere in Mexico. You got to bring him back. And he's like, he's over here fighting people. And there's one point in the movie. Again, this is kind of a big spoiler that a chicken disarms a man with a gun. So that's just what happens. Yeah. So that's the movie. So if you're going to commit to watching this movie, that's what's going on. That's the movie you committed to. The one where the chicken disarms a man with a gun. Like, so was this Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? No, it's a new drama from Clint Eastwood. Like, what's going on? It's insane. Man, I feel like
my freaking score just went lower. Like, through our conversation, I talked myself out of like a certain score I was going to give. Now it's just way lower than what I thought it was going to be. But I mean, you're absolutely right. I feel like there's a lot of honesty in this podcast episode. And I just can't be lying to myself just because I love Clint Eastwood. Because I like Clint Eastwood. Like, I care for him. He's dope. I don't have any grandparents. You know, they all passed away, unfortunately. So Clint Eastwood's kind of my grandpa. You know, like, just in my heart, like, he just is. And I just, like, I feel bad because, like, there's some pretty stuff in the movie. Like, there's some cool stuff, but also some, like, comically, like, really, like, dumb things. Like,
It's
one of those things where you're like, hey, grandpa, it wasn't a good idea. Or, like, not a good move. You know, like, you know, if your grandpa's drinking all day, you want to be like, hey, grandpa, let's just not do that. And then grandpa's like, well, no, I'm going to die. So I can do whatever I want. And that's like Clint Eastwood's movies right now. He's like, nah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. Whatever. And you know what? Let's throw some women at me. Because for whatever reason, some 90-year-old man, women just love that old dude. They just love Clint Eastwood. And I know what he's doing. He's a director. Yeah, I know what he's like. Hey, let me get some action in this movie.
Yeah.
Real quick.
At least the woman he was dancing with was like 40 years younger than him. And not like 70 years younger. You know, like, it could have been worse.
Yeah, that's true. But that's because of the character, right? That's because of who he was in the movie. He had a good heart. He was just a good soul.
And that, yeah, that's why.
That was like kind of Dr. Doolittle, which really made me laugh when he said that line.
It's just what a crazy, crazy movie. It's just crazy that it exists. And that's one of those things where I feel like, so when I watch movies like this, I start to think about the whole process from beginning to end. And like, at what point did he show this to the studio? And they were like, damn it. All right, well, whatever. Like, can't win them all. You know, like, who, or yeah, they're just like, well, we'll put it on theater. Someone's going to watch it. You know, we'll get. Because some people are going to watch this movie and be like, this is
older
great.
People.
Yeah.
Like,
this is great.
Older people.
He's like, oh, it's not, life's not about, you know, being macho. You know, sometimes you got to not be macho. And it's like, dude, so insightful. Thanks, Clint. Like, God, I just, oh, man.
I learned a lot today.
It's like, oh, the chicken's name is Macho. What? Like, do you get it? Like, oh, my God.
Symbolic, bro.
Yeah, symbolic. I know. It's so bad. And I can't think of anything positive about the movie. I think we were talking earlier. I said there was one moment where he first like just lays down on the side. And that's the other thing too. Like, my man's out here camping with no sleeping bags and stuff. He just lays down in the dirt chilling.
He's too old. There's no way he can wake up normal that morning. He's waking up like fucking like dying.
But he like lays down and like there's a sunset, really cool, you know, view and really nice like cinematography, whatever it is. But then you think about, oh, he's like so meticulous about these one shots. He probably happened by accident. I'm sure he didn't even realize. He's like, whatever, it's the one we're doing. Take it. Let's go. And so I don't know, man. It just, ooh, so bad.
What are you thinking to rate this movie with?
Oh, geez, we. So we could do, I'm going to say arthritis. It's probably a safe bet. we could do.
I have like stolen vehicles written down.
Stolen vehicles.
And really bad henchmen.
Bad henchmen. Bad guys. Bad acting. Right, I'm down for bad henchmen or whatever.
I'm going to give you 45 really bad henchmen.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah, that might be a little bit higher. But I'm telling you, like, when I watch this movie, I think about my parents, you know? And this is, like, just an easy movie to watch with my parents. Really enjoy them. It's a really simple movie. Yeah, it's kind of bad. Dialogue's pretty terrible. Super predictable screenplay. But I still enjoyed the movie. Like, I still like the movie. The movie ends on a nice note, and yeah, the whole story behind it, I think it's pretty dope. There's moments where I'm watching this, and I feel like I was the little kid. And I, you know, it's a little personal perspective there, but I kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. I just really wish the dialogue and screenplay was worked on better, because the overall tone is pretty good, and like the message is all right. And I really wish they would have dived a little bit more into the soundtrack and really put some good like country songs or some good tracks that really just resonate with the movie. And like, there's really no song in this movie that you're like, oh yeah, Cry Macho. Yeah. It had, the Johnny Cash song, or like, oh yeah, it has a Bon Iver track or just something that kind of resonates with the movie and kind of amplifies it, you know, because I'm a big fan of amplifying the movie with your soundtrack, with your music. The score kind of did it, but kind of didn't really. And I just wish there was a little bit more work on that to kind of overcompensate with like just like the bad movie. Like, because there's a lot of good heartfelt scenes, but there was really nothing really behind it. And when you're not really motivated with the score and not really consumed by it, you really start like dissecting and analyzing the dialogue, and the dialogue wasn't very good. So yeah. I wish those things were kind of done.
Now, what's your three-word review here?
My three-word review, it's going to be Real Cowboys Cry.
Okay.
Because that's true.
So I have disliked this movie more than I think almost every other movie we've watched. I think it's so bad. I think it's almost irresponsible that it was made. And that anyone could have told them to put someone else in it. I just think it was just so bad. Everything about it. I'm going to give this one a 10 out of 100.
Damn.
So 10 really bad henchmen out of 100. I think that's even generous. Tom and Jerry got a 12, I think, or something like that. So
yeah, I think you rated something with a 7. Either know. You or me. I think there's a 7 somewhere out there.
It's dark days, brother. But yeah, 10...
This is kind of down there.
10 is pretty, I mean, I'm giving it some credit for, I don't know, when he turned around, it just made me, like, he drops off the kid. This is, I mean, spoilers, the whole end of the movie at this point. But he drops off the kid at the border, and the kid just walks away, and then, like, without saying anything, and he leaves this girl that, like, you know, he's dancing with, and he doesn't say, she's like, you were going to leave without saying goodbye. And he's like, it's hard to say goodbye or whatever. And he just starts walking away. And she's like, oh, you know.
Probably crying, yeah.
Yeah, probably crying. And so he drops the kid off and then just dips back to the woman. He's like, I'm going to go keep dancing with this lady. And and then that's just, oh, God, I just, yeah. So 10 out of 100 because that made me laugh. Yeah, my three-word review is going to be a really bad movie, a really terrible movie. I'm going to stick with that because I just hated it so much. Well, that's our episode for today, y'all. I hope you enjoyed. It was definitely fun recording it, I can tell you that much. I don't know if it's a sleep deprivation, but I'm having a great time.
And, I know, you're like delirious.
I do. Catch you guys later. Catch you guys next Monday. Peace out. Hey, guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take two. We'll be right back.
drink myself, you know. It's not because I'm no big guy. I'm just afraid, you know. I fear everything, you know. And so I'm afraid to and stuff. But I used to. And now I don't drink. And when you're with people that drink, it doesn't work out. That's why that designated driver thing, I don't think ever worked out. I see ads for it again. Like, I think they're trying to resurrect that idea. But it's kind of a flawed notion, you know. It's like, hey, Bill, listen. We were wondering if you'd come out with us. Here's the idea. We want to go out and drink. And then we were hoping you'd come with us and not drink. How's that sound to you? We're going to go to a bunch of different bars and drink, and then you come with us and not drink. Also, we're not going to be driving. You're going to pick us up at our different houses, go to a bunch of bars, not drink while we drink, and then drive us all home. How's that sound to you? How's that catch you? I was like, I don't know. What's the catch? It sounds too good. There's some sort of... But I don't drink, and if you don't drink, I'll tell you something. Bars are not a lot of fun because, you know... When you think about it, fucking all, you know, all it is you're just sitting at a big oak table for 4 hours. That's not fun unless you're drunk. And then everybody else be drinking, you know what I mean? So their fun is going up and up and up, you know? It's rising. Their fun is escalating while your fun is staying exactly the same. And then by the end of the night, you don't even know what the fuck they're laughing about. Just... Everybody's laughing. And then they start resenting you for it. I've seen that, man. Drunk people do not want a not drunk guy there. I know that. I've been there so many times. It always ends the same. Guy comes up to you and goes, hey, what's the matter with you? Cheer up. Ah. Then you're like, oh, no, I'm having a good time, too. Don't take a wild swing at me when I'm not looking. I'll be driving you home later. This is a lot of fun. Worst thing about not drinking is the sex, because if you're drinking, you can meet a girl, she'd be drunk, and then that very night, you can have sex with her, call it a one-night stand. Now, if you're not drinking, I don't know if you've ever had a one-night stand dead clean sober. But I have. And it's not a lot of fun. You get back to your apartment, you're like, all right, I guess I'll take my trousers off now, ma'am. And no, I won't. Sorry about that. Well, goodbye. It's nice to meet you. I don't know what I was thinking. We're human beings. Once again, I apologize for the trousers incident. Very nice to meet you.